And we are going to do this right here.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, checking in at...
There you go.
That?
Number five.
Number five.
Just a few.
It's all a black body.
That's a sex machine to all the chicks.
Damn right.
Mm-hmm. Tim Story's Shaft, a sequel to John Singleton's 2000 film with the same name. It opens today. The director says he's been talking to John Singleton about the sequel to his 2000 film before his death.
To follow, my good friend John Singleton with it, my heart's broken because John and I talked about this, this movie, what I was doing before his passing, and I was so ready for him to see it. There's footage of his movie inside of it, and my heart hurts on that. So he was a good friend. It's been daunting, but at the same time, it's been a dream come true.
And Richard, you reviewed Shaft for us.
Yeah,
unfortunately, as I recall, you did not love
barely
it.
Barely reviewed it.
Tim Story's a really good guy, and I think his best film was probably Barbershop, which the original.
Right.
And John Singleton, that was so sudden and sad. And talk about a real gentleman and a great filmmaker, John Singleton. But unfortunately, we're not recommending this Shaft.
And did Tim Story do the second Barbershop? And did he do
some of the Fast and Furious movies, too. Okay. He's done a lot of stuff. Prolific, for sure.
Remember when Barbershop was controversial? Remember when Jesse Jackson got all mad about Barbershop because there was a Jesse Jackson reference in that movie where Cedric the Entertainer said, Jesse Jackson, and he said, Jesse Jackson, Jesse Jackson. Jesse didn't like it, and there was protest around you. That was a thing for Barbershop in 2001.
Different time,
It was a very different time.
Yeah,
you're right.
You're like, that was a protest? Okay.
Wow.
Well, we should protest Chef because we don't want to go. It was according to Richard. That's our thing.
A good protest.
Checking in at...
Number four.
Drake had a great night watching from Jurassic Park, an area near the, how do you say it, the Scotiabank Arena in Toronto, where basketball fans gathered. Drake cheered all along very publicly with thousands of other fans as his beloved Toronto Raptors won their first NBA championship in franchise history. It was clearly an emotional night for Drake, and after the final buzzer sounded, the Canadian superstar celebrated as if he were a part of the team, with a post-game interview all his own.
This is poetic. This is poetic. You just got to watch it happen. 6-6. Kyle Lowry with the ring. Kawhi Leonard bringing the chips to the city. I want my chips with the dip. That's all I know. I don't want my chips playing. I want my chips with the dip. So bring them dips. That dynasty's over. We did what we had to do. Praying for KD. Praying for Big Poppy. But tonight belongs to Toronto. It's not about what it means. You know what it means. You can turn your cameras up to the screen and know what it means. We did this. We did this off of heart. We did this off of love. We willed this into existence. We manifested this. I told you the first time. People like to make memes. Make another meme out of this. It's beautiful. Look at my brothers up there celebrating. It is what it is.
You think he'd be better at the impromptu press conference?
Exactly. Like he
would be able to
verse
spit.
Freestyling. Yeah.
That seemed very non-sequitur.
Why did question you over here? Why did Drake get his own press conference?
That's a good question. He did not
play for the team.
No.
He got a lot of credit for them winning.
I don't know why.
Does he play a role in them winning?
Okay, here's my question for you both basketball fans. Yes. Do you put an asterisk next to the Toronto Raptors championship because Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson were hurt?
I say no. You can only beat the team that's out on the court. And, 25 years from now, they'll still have that championship. Some people say that, the Rockets won those 2 years when Michael Jordan retired. Well, they have those two banners. They beat the teams that were out there. The Bulls didn't even make it to the finals.
And
so,
then poetically, say that the Golden State Warriors got one of their wins because all the guys got hurt around LeBron James.
Yeah.
He was the only one out
part
there.
Of the game. They won.
And Drake dropped two new singles today. Drake won. Congratulations to Drake.
Drake and the...
And also the...
Rappers.
They deserve a little bit
Maybe
of
he thinks of the Toronto Rappers, and that's how he first got so involved with them.
They should rename it, because it really is Drake's team now, so we need to change things there. Congratulations to the Raptors.
Well, you know what I do when I bracket all the playoffs? I look at what the actual team names are and who would win. So I knew a Raptor would defeat a Warrior. A Warrior would put up a good fight. But there was no, and that's why the Bucks I knew weren't going to get through there. There's no way a buck is going to beat a raptor.
Yeah, I was saying that during the Milwaukee Bucks run, right? Their big statement was fear the deer. And I'm like,
fear the deer.
That doesn't work. That's not scary enough.
It's what for dinner.
You guys laugh, but that's how I do my NCAA brackets, and I win. I've won 2 years in a row.
Hey, all right.
So see? This is a Cavaliers. Should we take a break here and then do our three, our two, and our one, and then we'll be back with more of the top five at five. But let's check in with Kim Gordon, see what's happening bottom of the hour in the news.
Tonight, the Cubs head to Tinseltown. Baez, Bellinger, an L.A. story. Cubs, Dodgers, tonight at 9, WGN-TV.
It's the Rokan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. Justin Kaufman here in studio today on this Friday. We've got Richard Roper here in the studio on this Friday as we are in the middle of the top five at five. I have a tweet here from a friend of mine. Dangerously high wine levels on the Chicago River this afternoon. So that's happening.
That's true.
And we were just talking. Justin and I were just looking down there. Our studio sits above the river, so we can track all things Chicago River. And the whole world is down there.
Yeah. It's
absolutely
pretty active, pretty cool. We had a boat captain call during the break, too, and said, all you kayakers, just get out of my way. It takes me 40 feet to stop. So don't just keep weaving in and out in front of me. And be kind.
It does look fraught with peril sometimes.
It totally does. Most people, you don't have to do any real training to get the kayak out there.
Oh, there's always that one guy with that little Mr. Microphone that's telling everybody what to do.
Right.
Left, right.
Yeah. Expert kayaker.
Yeah. He knows what he's doing, but the rest of us don't.
Went to the University of Kayak.
Something. He's. We're going to check in now at
number three.
Years ago tomorrow, Santana's massively successful album Supernatural, it was released. The album featured the monster number one hit Smooth and went on to win 8 Grammys, sell over 15 million copies in the U.S. Carlos Santana says the album's success was downright, well, supernatural.
It was done by grace. You know, I can clearly say that God, the universe, archangels and angels, whatever you believe in, it's conspiring constantly to give you a quality of existence. All my life, I've been at the right place at the right time with knowing people like Bill Graham or Clive Davis or Miles Davis or Tito Puente or B.B. King. And all of them had basically adopted me and tutored me to become the person that I am.
Those are some impressive tutors, cool. Don't they?
I forgot that was him because they got the guy from Matchbox 20.
Rob Thomas.
Yeah, he does this lyrics on that. I would have thought that was a Matt, but you're right. That's a Santana song.
Carlos Santana. Well, that's the thing. He always, you know, he's not a great singer, and he knows that. He's one of the greatest guitarists ever, so he just associates himself with different vocals. They played Woodstock, for God's sake.
Did
Santana.
They really?
That's how long they've been killing it, yeah. This is their worst song ever.
It really is.
This is why it sold 100 million copies.
Always the case.
How many songs? How many times are you going to hear this at Street Fest this week?
Get ready.
Skin Doctor's going to be like, we're going to do a cover.
Can you do Santana? You know that one?
Jeez.
All right. Checking in at
number two.
Taylor Swift. She's making a big statement with her new single. The 29-year-old pop star dropped new details about her upcoming 7th album, Lover. The album, which will be released on August 23rd, will feature 18 tracks, including the previously released Me! Exclamation point. And remember Jeb exclamation point wasn't quite meant the same way. And the new single You Need to Calm Down, which premiered this morning, You Need to Calm Down is a pop tune with an upbeat melody and some lyrics with some serious shade about social media haters and internet feuds. It's one lyric that caught the eyes of GLAAD, though, an LGBTQ organization that Swift recently made a very generous donation to in honor of Pride Month.
You are somebody that we don't know, but you're coming at my like a missile, are you mad? When you could be glad, you could be glad. Sunshine on the street at the parade, but you would rather be in the dark age. Just making that sign must have taken all night. You just need to take several seats and then try to restore the peace and control your urges to scream about all the people you hate. Cause shade never made anybody less gay.
Oh, speaking up for her friends there in the LGBTQ community. And TMZ is reporting since that she dropped that single, the donations to some of the GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, they've like skyrocketed. So the Swifties come out.
Put a nice EDM beat behind that, and that could be the Pride Parade anthem.
How about that?
Yeah, totally.
You know, but it's got to have a bigger beat. It can't have that kind of
That's true.
You got to get people dancing.
Yeah, because it's always the remix that gets going at the parade.
That is true. Right.
Have you ever been played DJ for the parade?
No, I have not. But I
could be good at that.
I could be.
You could do that for our float. We're going to have the WGN radio float out there. So we'll have to do that. All right, checking in at
number one.
Here's our boy, Illinois meteorologist Joe Crane, might have lost the battle and his job over his taking that stand over the code red, you know, the red weather warnings. Saying that he was trying to communicate to his viewers, hey, this is why we're using this, even though you know I don't completely agree with it. But his former employer, Sinclair Broadcast Group, on Springfield's channel WICS, Channel 20, has replaced the doomsday wording with the less sensational words, weather worn. So it's no longer code red. Now it's weather worn. Weather, the wording changes. Weather worn.
I wish I was a fly on the wall for that brainstorm.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. Yeah, I got a sweater that's weather worn.
Weather worn. We have a weather worn for you. We don't want to be alarmist, so we just are going to put up this graphic that says weather worn. Whether the wording changes the prolific use of the scare tactic remains to be seen, but Crane's firing at the very least has drawn a lot of attention, a lot of support. 15,000 people have liked his supporters of Joe Crane on Facebook. Stephen Colbert squeezed in an entire bit out of the situation on The Late Show last night.
Hello, Springfield. I'm Trip Dippler with your 5-day Deathcast. Looks like we've got light rain headed into Tuesday, so pack an umbrella and make your peace with God. Later tonight, temperatures will dip, so we've got an apocalypse advisory. Okay. If you go outside, you'll be engulfed in ice-cold tongues of flame, and your children will forget the sound of your voice. So if you got any patio furniture, bring it on in tonight. Now over to Otis for sports.
The Warriors are coming! Flee!
Oh my God,
I would watch Trip Dippler.
Trip Dippler.
If somebody wanted
to. If you're in San Diego, you would. But what if there's a tornado? Trip is Trip Dippler going to be there for you?
Probably not.
We did have a lot of people weigh in because we talked about this earlier on the program. People from that area who say he is very respected. I mean, no one's Tom Skilling, but he is
Joe
that
Crane,
area.
Yeah.
He's the guy that they do respect and that they turn to in severe weather situations.
Trip Dippler is such a name from a comedy writer.
That is, yeah,
right? A comedy that's such a late night sketch comedy writer. It's like, I got a great name I've been sitting on. Trip Dippler. Can we use it in some way? That's right out of the toolbox.
Like a panel in Mad Magazine, circa 73. You know?
We have a weather worn. That's the new thing there. So I wonder how the viewers will respond enthusiastically to that. No. Poor Joe, though. So he lost his job, and they've got all these advertisers pulling the plug, and we'll see what happens to him. I bet he lands on his feet. That's my prediction, because
I'm
a
sure
lot of respect.
He's gotten a lot of offers. It's a matter of moving, right, in a family.
Right.
He could work for Cranes.
Cranes. Oh, yeah, because his name is Joe Crane.
People think
they like people named Crane.
Boss's kid
for sure. I think Joe Crane's going to be okay, and that would be justice if he is. We're going to wrap this thing up, and to do that, all I have to do is press this button right here.
The top five at five.